and Elevation Radio.
God bless you. This is Elevation Radio 1, and I'm your host, Pastor Steve, the Music Man Turner, and we thank you for taking the journey with us. Okay, this is the program that spotlights positive people doing positive work while serving a positive God whose name is Jesus, and we need him now, today, more than ever. Our subject matter today is Urban Kidney Warriors Unite. Urban Kidney Warriors Unite. Is there a war against Black Americans? And we are talking about while the government distracts and now is controlling our way of life, really our every way of life, with fear, is there a more sinister plan to eliminate the community, the Black community, through population control, body part harvesting? Have we become the new cotton? Are we the new cotton? Well, we will welcome one of our community heroes, RANMSN, CEO of Urban Kidney Foundation, a tireless advocate of patient rights and patient education. Willie, help us with that, with the information about dialysis. You should go grab a friend, a neighbor, or anyone you know that's on kidney dialysis or should be on it, diabetic, they should tune in now. And the call is 1-914-205-5353. Before we bring on our esteemed guest, we are going to have the verse to rehearse by the prettiest co-host in the land. That is my wife, First Lady Leora. Go ahead and read that from, I think it's from Luke chapter 4, verse 40, that one verse.
Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diver disease brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them.
All right, it's talking about Christ putting his hands on people who were sick with all kinds of diseases. But today we're not talking about all kinds of diseases. Today we're talking about something special, and that is kidney disease. Kidney disease, better rephrased as urban kidney disease. And when we talk about that, we have to bring on an expert. I call him Professor Steve Belcher. Come on, clap your hands. God bless you. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Steve? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir. The globe can hear you. And I need to ask you a question, sir, real fast. Who is Steve Belcher?
I'll answer that. Let me put my earpiece in.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Can you hear me now, Steve?
I can hear you.
All right. So Steve Belcher is a 55-year-old nurse advocate that's executive director of Urban Kidney Alliance, which is a grassroots 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to kidney disease awareness, education, and prevention in communities across the globe that's at risk for kidney disease.
Oh, that's
hello.
That's fantastic. You say you're a medical nurse, RN. So you went to school. You've been trained. And where did you work at, sir?
So I started off in 1985 doing dialysis. I started in Austin, Texas, right after I got out of the military, and I was a technician for 10 years, and I went back to school and got my associate's degree in registered nurse, and I continued to do dialysis. And I went back some years later and got my BSN. followed by two master's degree, one in nursing and the other one in health education and promotion. My last work assignment in dialysis was with DaVita Dialysis. That's a global company, dialysis company, and that ended in 2018 from a workplace injury.
All right. And to be transparent, you were one of the technicians that I have to deal with as I'm taking dialysis myself. Is that right?
Well,
that kind of...
Yeah, I was a nurse. Well, when I finished, I was a charge nurse. I've been a nurse for 23 years and a technician for 10 years. So I've worked in all parts of dialysis when it comes to, well, not all parts. So let me take that back. From technician to staff nurse to charge nurse to administrator and acute dialysis nurse. So when you were in the hospital and you first got diagnosed or had to have your first treatment in the hospital, I would have been one of my jobs in the past. I would have been the one you would have seen come to your room or wherever you were at, or they would have brought you to the room or came to your bedside. I worked as a nurse doing that as well. So, you know, it's just different types of jobs in dialysis. You got the PD nurse, and then you got nurses that do what's called plasmapheresis, where they just pull out your plasma and clean it and put in new plasma. So I was fortunate enough to work in as a technician, as a charge nurse, as an acute nurse, as an administrator, kind of get a multifaceted job in dialysis.
Well, sir, it seems that you are more than qualified, probably overqualified. That's okay. I applaud you, sir, as a qualified and highly intelligent black man. It's important here.
No,
we love black.
You. I appreciate that, man.
Yes, sir. So
Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, what I was just going to say, Steve, what drove me to this point of passion was I was tired of getting called at 2-3 in the morning and going in, and most of our brothers and sisters diagnosed or can't breathe, being diagnosed for the first time with kidney failure. They don't know what's going on, and I'm coming to the room with the machine. They just finished getting the catheter put in, and they're scared, and they don't know what's going on. I can't tell you over my 33-year career how many times I've seen that. And it's just heartbreaking when someone get diagnosed and they never knew that they had kidney disease, because then it becomes their new normal.
I can verify that when I was in the hospital, as you were talking about, in February, the week before Valentine's Day, and was diagnosed with double pneumonia and flu, which now looking back retrospectively, I had the coronavirus. It was misdiagnosed. While there on a ventilator machine with a heart monitor, I recall a doctor coming to my room saying that the white blood count was low. I wasn't retaining blood, and so they had to do a blood transfusion. That's compounded on my other diagnosis, and then telling me that my numbers were bad. I said, what are you talking about? He's saying your kidneys are not working, functioning, we're going to have to put you or give you dialysis. And I said, oh no, my information from that, I've lost
a
friend.
Man.
That's just a death sentence right there. He said, well, if you want
to
get up.
No, it doesn't have to be. That's the first thing people think. But there's people that have who live long quality lives undergoing kidney dialysis, especially if it's done at home where you can get more treatment time opposed to a rigorous 3 to 4 hour treatment three times a week, because that puts a lot of strain on one's heart. So if someone kind of overdo it, say, when I mean overdo it, like with fluid, because they recommend that between treatments, one ingest 32 ounces per day. So that's between 1 to 3 liters between treatments. But with some people, they might have some food that they may not realize may be high in salt. And then once after they eat their food, then they may become thirsty. And they may not put two and two together to say, hey, if you're taking chemistry and you look at the sodium H2O, those molecules, they attract each other. So with that being said, wherever salt goes, water is going to come behind it. So, you know, we go to eat out Chinese food or fried chicken, something that may be spicy. You want to drink food. Water because it quenches that thirst.
Yeah, not Chinese food.
But that's that chemistry acting, the sodium and the hydrogen molecule attracting each other. I mean, when you look at it in scientific terms.
Yeah, that's why they told me I can't drink more than 32 ounces a day. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, you can if you want. It's not recommended because anything over that can put you in a fluid overload situation. You know, you got some people who they can't tolerate it. Small frame people who can't tolerate a lot of fluid, and at night they may have to use 2 and 3 pillows to go to sleep because if they lay flat, they may feel like they're drowning or they can't breathe.
I've also discovered that when I'm in the chair, with the catheter in my chest, there's so many people coming by, doctors, there's nurses, there's technicians, they're checking my numbers, they're telling me the nutritionist telling me what I can eat. There's a special renal diet. That's all from that and my diabetic issues. It can be very overwhelming with information and rules and regulations. You know, what you cannot eat. What can you eat for a person who's been a meat eater and a meat and potatoes person? What can you actually eat nowadays, Dr. Belcher?
Well, let me just say this. With the diabetes, is it type 2?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, type 2, they pretty much label that as like insulin resistant. So, what that means, if you look at it, if you break it down logically and look at it, diabetes type 2 and heart disease kind of center around each other. And the reason for that is, you know, with heart disease, that comes from your arteries clogged up and the blood flow and oxygen can't get to your heart, right? And that stuff that clogs your arteries up is like plaque, cholesterol, fat. Okay. So that same fat that clogs up those arteries, right, that's the same fat that coats your cells. And when your cells are coated, sugar can't get, the insulin can't get the sugar into your cells for your cells to use that sugar as energy. So if your cells are coated by fat, the same fat that blocks the arteries that goes to your heart, right, and insulin can't get in it, and the sugar can't get into those cells because it's coated, that's where the insulin resistance comes from, because the insulin can't get the sugar into the cells, thus the sugar builds up into your blood, causing diabetes. Diabetes is just with your A1C is high, but your sugar level is high, right? That's all it is. And why is that? Because the sugar can't get in your cells because it's coated by fat. So that's why we tell people to lose weight. And it's not eating like carbohydrate and the sugar and all that. It's removing that fat. That means removing eating chicken. Start eating animal protein. The animal protein has the saturated fat. The eggs and bacon. All that. Now, Steve, think about this. If when you cook bacon, and I know a lot of people cook bacon, but when you cook bacon and when you take the bacon that just finished and you come back maybe an hour later, you see that waxy paste grease that kind of not harden up, but it's not the substance no more. It turned into fat, right? You've seen that in the frying pan. After you cook bacon, and about 2 hours later, it's waxy and it's scrape it and stuff like that. Well,
that same fat,
when you ingest, it's on the bacon when you ingest it. So just think about when you're eating foods that's high saturated fat, cholesterol. That fat is not coming out through your urine or your feces when you defecate. That fat is staying in your body until you sweat it off or whatever the case may be. And
may I ask you a question? Were you in my house today?
No, I wasn't.
Well, you weren't in my house today when my wife cooked the bacon eggs today? Get on it, Steve.
No, I didn't see that. And let me just say this. If you eat a lot of eggs and like fat, with some patients who have high cholesterol, you can see that fat sometime in the kidney after we turn your blood, after treatment. You may see some byproducts of it in the venous chamber or something like that. Not all the time, but I've seen it with some patients. But yeah, you got to be careful with that, especially with, and you asked me what can you eat because of the renal diet. Now, fish. If you want to do fish, you want to, bake it. You don't want to fry it, but bake it or broil it. They tell you to eat food that's high
biologic
type of protein, like your chicken and your fish. But now they're even talking of instituting or looking into a vegetarian diet that can help. So, but if you do eat the chicken, let me just say this, Steve. If you do eat meat, chicken, and that stuff that has that high value, you don't want to eat a lot of it, meaning you want to, because you want to get enough protein, but at the same time, you want to reduce the saturated fat intake as well. Because just remember, if you got diabetes and if you don't have that controlled and you cut your foot or hand or something, and that diabetes not controlled, that cut, if it's not properly monitored, can turn into a wound infection, which can turn into gangrene, which can lead to amputation of one toe. And then it normally starts off with maybe the big toe or the baby toe, and then it even goes in either direction. And then it's after all your toes are cut off, they want to cut off half your foot, then it's above the ankle, then it's either below the knee or above the knee, it just doesn't stop, man, and it makes you wonder, how did he go from one toe to above the knee? Where was the education and the prevention and the advocacy to prevent from one toe? It shouldn't even have been one toe when you're talking about a preventable disease, right? Diabetes type 2 is preventable. So it should not go from being preventable to one toe or one digit finger being amputated, then the next one, then the next one, and then after maybe 2 years, it's either below or above the knee, and then you're sitting in a wheelchair, all because of no education or miseducation behind something that could have been prevented in the first place.
Now, we have about 8 minutes left. I want to get to the main topic here. We built it up because you get from the wheelchair to the hospital bed to the wheelchair to the kidney chair, and you have to have dialysis. There seems to be so many, you said you work for DaVita, so many DaVita places strategically put for predominantly, and I did see a white European man there, but they seem to be from mainly black Americans. And why are there so many DaVita? Where did it come from? Why are there so many, and where are they located all over?
Well, you know, Steve, kidney disease affects everyone, but it mainly affects minorities, right? Blacks being the main population affected. And what's happening, DaVita is located out of Colorado. And so what their business model is that they treat people with kidney disease. However, their business model is set up, I believe, off of at-risk neighborhood or communities. Now, are there DaVitas that's in white communities? Absolutely. Absolutely. But they're not condensed in those communities like they are in the urban community. For instance, out Bel Air, you may have one or two that way, right? But when you come down in the Baltimore City and around John Hopkins, specifically zip code 21202, in a 5-mile circumference radius, there are 17 dialysis clinics in a 5-mile radius from John Hopkins. Now, you take that, you go to Bel Air, there's 3 in the 3 to 6 mile radius, or 4. You come down to Baltimore, and it's like a metropolis of dialysis clinics.
Why is that?
Because of the high rate of diabetes and hypertension, which are the two leading causes of kidney failure. And if you go into a lot of these communities where these DaVita units are at, you're more likely to see a General Dollar or a dollar store next to it, 7-Eleven or some type of fast food restaurant. But normally it's a Family Dollar that's next to it. And if you're in the Baltimore area listening to this, you can go out in the county off of Liberty and Offutt. There's a DaVita there with a Dollar General. You can go in Catonsville off of Route 40, where Foreman Mills used to be. There's a DaVita there on the other side of the Shoppers. And then on the other side, it's a Family Dollar or Dollar General. I mean, even in Texas, a lot of places you go, it's pretty much the same, and I think that's designed to catch those people that are in communities where, again, there's high rates of heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, and no supermarkets or access to fresh food. And they're caught in between a what's that? They caught between a rock and a hard place, because you got the fast food places on one side and you got the dialysis places on the other. A lot of people can't
afford
put them together to say, wait a minute, something's not right here. So a lot of people don't connect the dots.
They can't afford it. They can't afford to connect the dots in some cases. It's convenient in other cases. So it sounds like
by design
to this is the new cotton, that's what I call it.
But you know what, Steve? That could be true to new cotton, but they're getting paid at the same time. See, when people back in the day were picking cotton, they were getting pennies. But now what's going on, when people go to dialysis, what happens? Now, I don't know what happened with you. When I mean by happened with you, meaning when you was in the hospital and that caseworker came to your room maybe about 3 or 4 days before you was pegged to discharge, want to know what area you in so they can find a clinic around your house, instead of saying, oh, Mr. Turner, do you think maybe we could you may want to try home dialysis or peritoneal, not thinking if you're still working or that another option may be better for you. But yet a lot of people get steered into in-center dialysis that they don't know anything about home dialysis. And then when me as a caregiver, when I go and I see the new patient and I ask them about it, they don't know what I'm talking about. And then when I try to talk to them about it, they're so stuck on coming into the unit that they don't know that they could have something good, especially if one was used to traveling or working. The saddest tragedy, Steve, is when you have a person who works and they get hit with this disease and no one told them about other options of doing it at home, and yet that person ends up quitting his job or reducing the hours because he has the hours and they can't make no adjustments for him. And if one could have knew that before they even got fired or reduced their job hours or whatever, that would have been a great help. But the travesty is finding all that out after you lose your job or you lose your source of income because you couldn't fit it around dialysis, because no one told you can do home dialysis. If you did home, none of that would have happened. You could have still been working.
Well, this is so true. Unfortunately, it looks like our time is going down. Can you ever get out of the unit of DaVita and do the home piece? Okay.
Absolutely. People, you just let your doctor know that you're interested in home hemo or peritoneal. Get the information. Find out, your advantages and disadvantages of going home, and weigh the option.
You gotta have a surgery.
Especially with this coronavirus, insurance pays for it as well.
You gotta have a surgery, don't you, to get the home thing?
Yeah, Medicare, they pay for it.
How long does surgery last?
Part B.
How long does the surgery last to get? How long does the surgery last to get the tube in the stomach?
Oh, maybe several hours. I know people who go in and get the surgery the same day, in and out surgery.
Okay. All right. Well, if someone's going to reach you, I think we're out of time here. Someone wanted to reach you, because you're a wealth of knowledge, how can they reach it?
All they have to do is call me, Steve Belcher, at 443-814-1541. And they can contact us on Facebook at Urban Kidney Alliance or Urban Health Outreach Media.
That's fantastic. You do have a radio show, don't you?
Yeah, I have it on WOLB, but with this coronavirus, they're not letting anybody in the station. So my show is going to be, you know, on hold until further notice. But I will come on our Facebook page. We definitely broadcast from there. So it's a lot better than the radio because then you don't have to tune in to the radio station. You can see me live.
Okay, sounds great. Well, I'm glad you're my friend. Urban Kidney Warriors unite. So,
absolutely.
It was a pleasure having you on. You're classing up the program, giving great information and helping the community. You are a general, sir. Now, as we close, let my wife, is she still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right, never leave me. Never leave me.
praise God.
Let them know that God is great in Spanish.
He's greater than great. He's almighty.
Say it in Spanish.
No, I can't say it in Spanish.
Say, go with God. Go with God in Spanish.
Vámonos, Jesús.
All right. And also it said, vaya con Dios. Go with God.
Okay.
God is greater than kidney. God is greater than corona. God is greater than Trump. We can make it.
Absolutely.
Keep our hands up, keeps our hearts up, and it'll be all right. This has been another Elevation Radio One Moment. God bless you. Keep your heads up. Keep your heads up. Keep your heads up.
Amen.